Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're doing a deep dive into a really foundational book for understanding ourselves a bit better. Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection. The subtitle says it all. Let go of who you think you're supposed to be and embrace who you are.
It really does, and it's so relevant because it gets right to that that almost constant hum of not enoughness so many of us feel.
That feeling, yeah, like you're always falling short somehow.
Exactly. Brown calls it living in a scarcity culture. It's this pervasive idea that our value comes from, you know, achieving more, looking perfect, being constantly busy. It's relentless.
It really is exhausting. So the goal today is to explore the alternative she presents, which she calls wholehearted living. It's about finding a more fulfilling, connected way to live.
And the core shift, the sort of radical idea, is that the path there isn't about fixing our flaws. It's actually about embracing our vulnerabilities, accepting them.
Instead of hiding them.
Right. Because that acceptance connects to the book's central message. Worthiness isn't something you earn. It's your birthright. You just are worthy.
Wow. Okay, so just existing makes you worthy. That's a big leap from the hustle for your worth message we usually get.
It is. And the book is essentially a guide for making that leap, moving away from performing and towards authentic self-worth.
So who is Dr. Brené Brown? How did she arrive at these insights?
Well, she's a research professor at the University of Houston. And importantly, this isn't just based on anecdotes. She spent over 2 decades doing really rigorous research.
Research on what, specifically?
Things like courage, vulnerability, shame, empathy. She used grounded theory, which means she collected and analyzed thousands, literally thousands, of personal stories to see what patterns emerged. It's data-driven.
Okay, so there's solid academic backing. But there's something else that makes her perspective unique, isn't there?
Absolutely. What really sets her apart is how she combines that academic rigor with, well, her own personal experience, very openly.
I heard the book came out of a tough time for her personally.
That's right. She talks about having a sort of breakdown or spiritual awakening where she realized she was studying things like vulnerability professionally, but really struggling with them in her own life.
Yeah.
Deeply.
So she wasn't just observing it. She was living it.
Exactly. She says the data kept pointing her back to her own life, her own need to embrace imperfection. So she doesn't speak just as an expert handing down knowledge. She speaks as a fellow traveler.
That makes her incredibly relatable, I think.
Right.
You trust the research, but you also trust the person who's been through it.
Yeah, it gives her voice both credibility and this deep resonance.
Okay, let's unpack the core message of The Gifts of Imperfection then. What's the central argument?
At its heart, it's this. Wholehearted living isn't about becoming perfect. It's about showing up, vulnerabilities and all, from a place of inherent worthiness, believing you're enough right now.
It's aimed at anyone who feels caught in that trap, right? Thinking, I need to be smarter or more successful or thinner or something else before I can really be happy or loved.
Precisely. It's about letting go of that image of who you think you should be, the one society often pushes on us, and embracing who you actually are.
And she gives us tools to do that, not just theory.
Definitely not. That's the beauty of it. She clarifies concepts like the crucial difference between shame and guilt, which we can get into, but then she provides a really practical framework.
The 10 guideposts.
Exactly. 10 guideposts for cultivating a life based on courage, compassion, and connection. They're like daily practices.
Okay, let's dive into those. Where do we start?
The foundation is really about authenticity and self-compassion. So guidepost #1 is cultivating authenticity, letting go of what people think.
Easier said than done.
Huh. True. But she frames it as a daily practice, consciously choosing to let go of external expectations bit by bit. And she makes this really key distinction.
Between fitting in and belonging.
Yes. Fitting in means you change yourself to be accepted. You morph, you edit. Belonging, on the other hand, means being accepted for who you are, authentically. It doesn't require self-betrayal.
That feels much more solid. But like you said, it goes against a lot of our conditioning. We learn to fit in to survive. Often.
We do. Which leads nicely into guidepost #2, cultivating self-compassion, which means letting go of perfectionism.
Ah, perfectionism. Many people wear that as a badge of honor, don't they? Like it's about high standards.
Right. We confuse it with healthy striving. But Brown argues it's actually a defense mechanism. It's driven by fear. Fear of shame, fear of judgment.
She have that powerful metaphor for it.
The 20-ton shield. Yeah. We think it protects us, but it's actually this incredibly heavy burden that prevents us from, as she says, taking flight, from being seen, from connecting.
So lugging this shield around is exhausting and keeps us stuck. What's the way out?
Self-compassion. It's about treating yourself with the same kindness, the same understanding you'd offer a friend who is struggling or messed up.
Which sounds simple, but my first reaction when I say burn dinner isn't usually kindness. It's more like, ugh, idiot.
Totally a normal reaction, but that's the practice, which connects to guidepost hashtag 3, cultivating a resilient spirit. This involves letting go of numbing and powerlessness.
Numbing. Like scrolling endlessly on our phones or binge watching or maybe drinking too much.
Exactly. All the ways we try to check out are dull, uncomfortable feelings, anxiety, grief, disappointment. But here's the kicker, the really crucial insight.
You can't selectively numb.
You got it. When we numb the bad stuff, the pain and fear, we inevitably numb the good stuff too. We dull our capacity for joy, for gratitude, for real connection.
Wow. So avoiding discomfort actually costs us our joy.
Pretty much. You have to be willing to feel the difficult emotions to also fully experience the positive ones. Which brings us to guidepost hashtag 4, cultivating gratitude and joy. This means letting go of scarcity and fear of the dark.
So joy isn't just something that happens to us. We have to cultivate it.
Yes, and the primary practice for that is gratitude. Actively noticing and appreciating the good things, big or small.
And she talks about foreboding joy here too, right? I recognize that one.
Oh, yeah. That's when things are going really well, you're feeling happy, and then this voice pops up like, uh-oh, enjoy it while it lasts. Something terrible is about to happen. Or you start mentally rehearsing tragedy.
It's like we can't trust happiness.
Right. And gratitude is the antidote. It pulls us back into the present moment, appreciating the joy we do have instead of letting fear steal it.
Okay, shifting gears slightly. Guidepost hashtag 5 is about inner wisdom, cultivating intuition and trusting faith. This involves letting go of the need for certainty.
Which is tough in our world, isn't it? We want guarantees. We want data to prove everything will be okay.
And constantly seeking that certainty just makes us more anxious, I find.
It often does. Brown uses faith here not necessarily in a religious sense, but as belief in something not yet proven. Trusting the process, tolerating ambiguity, finding meaning even when things are uncertain.
Letting go of that need for control, which probably frees us up for guidepost hashtag 6, cultivating creativity and letting go of comparison.
Yes, and she defines creativity very broadly. It's not just about art. It's gardening, problem solving, cooking, writing code, anything where you're making something new.
And she warns that not using our creativity is harmful.
She says unused creativity is not benign. It doesn't just vanish. It can curdle into things like judgment, resentment, cynicism, and the biggest killer of creativity.
Comparison. Looking at someone else's finished product while you're struggling with your messy beginning.
Exactly. It just shuts down the impulse to create.
Okay, the next few tackle our culture's obsession with productivity. Guidepost hashtag 7. Cultivating play and rest. Letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth.
This is such a needed message. We live in this hustle culture where being busy and tired is somehow seen as virtuous.
Like you have to earn your downtime.
Right. But Brown argues play purposeless. Fun activity and rest aren't luxuries or rewards. They are biological necessities for our well-being, like sleep or food.
We need them to function, not just
Yeah.
after we've earned them.
Precisely. And closely related is guidepost hashtag 8, cultivating calm and stillness and letting go of anxiety as a lifestyle.
Anxiety as a lifestyle. That sounds familiar.
Doesn't it? Calm here means managing our reactivity, not being constantly hijacked by our emotions. And stillness, through things like meditation or just quiet reflection, helps quiet that anxious mental chatter.
Finding moments of quiet in the noise.
Yeah. And she wraps up the guidepost by emphasizing full self-expression. Guidepost hashtag 9 is cultivating meaningful work, letting go of self-doubt and supposed to. Finding work that aligns with you, not just external pressures.
And finally, guidepost hashtag 10.
Cultivating laughter, song, and dance. Basically, letting go of being cool and always in control, allowing for uninhibited joy and expression.
Wow, that's a comprehensive roadmap. It
Yeah.
really covers so many areas of life. If you had to boil it down, what are the absolute key takeaways?
Okay, theme one has to be the core message. Worthiness is an unconditional birthright. You don't have to hustle for it, perform for it, achieve it. You are worthy simply because you exist.
Truly internalizing that feels like it would change everything. It makes you think, where am I still trying to earn approval or love?
Exactly. Theme 2 is probably her most famous contribution. Vulnerability is the ultimate act of courage.
Flipping the script on vulnerability as weakness.
Totally. She argues it's the foundation, the birthplace of everything we crave. Love, belonging, joy, creativity, empathy. It requires uncertainty, risk, emotional exposure, and it's essential for real connection. You have to be willing to be seen.
Which takes immense courage. And theme 3.
Shame resilience. Understanding what shame is, that intensely painful feeling of being flawed and unworthy of connection, and learning how to move through it.
Shame thrives in secrecy, right?
Yes. Secrecy, silence, and judgment feed it. Resilience comes from recognizing our shame triggers, sharing our story with someone empathetic, and speaking about it.
And distinguishing it from guilt is key, too.
Crucial. Guilt is, I did something bad. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt can be productive. It helps us correct behavior. Shame is destructive. It attacks our core self. Knowing the difference is liberating.
Brown really has a way with words, putting these deep ideas into such memorable phrases. Shall we share a few notable quotes?
Definitely. The first one really sums up the goal. Wholehearted living is about engaging in our lives from a place of worthiness. I am imperfect and vulnerable and sometimes afraid, but that doesn't change the truth that I'm also brave and worthy of love and belonging.
It's right there, accepting the imperfection and the worthiness simultaneously.
Nope.
Beautiful. And the one about perfectionism.
Oh, the shield metaphor. Perfectionism is a 20-ton shield that we lug around thinking it will protect us, when in fact it's the thing that's really preventing us from taking flight.
Such a vivid image of how that defense mechanism actually weighs us down.
It really is. And finally, redefining vulnerability and courage. Vulnerability is not knowing victory or defeat. It's understanding the necessity of both. It's engaging. It's being all in.
So it's not passive weakness. It's active engagement with life, wins and losses included. Powerful. Okay, let's make this really practical. How can someone start applying these ideas day to day? Let's start with personal growth.
A great starting point is practicing self-compassion, like really consciously. Next time you mess up, miss a deadline, say the wrong thing, notice that immediate self-critical voice.
The "ugh, you idiot" voice.
Yeah, and try to intentionally pivot. Acknowledge it. Okay, this feels bad. This is a moment of suffering. Then maybe add Kristen Neff's self-compassion phrases. Suffering is part of life. May I be kind to myself in this moment? Just interrupting the usual beat down helps.
That takes practice, but I can see how it disrupts the shame spiral. What about in families or parenting?
Creating a shame-resilient environment is huge. When you need to address a child's behavior or even a partner's, focus on the action, not the person's identity. That was not a kind choice. Instead of, you are mean.
Focusing on productive guilt. You did something that needs correcting, rather than destructive shame. You are bad.
Exactly. It allows for learning and growth without attacking their core worth. And in the workplace, especially for leaders.
Embracing vulnerability seems key for innovation.
Absolutely. If people are terrified of making mistakes or looking stupid, they won't share new ideas, they won't take risks. A leader who can say, I messed up, or I don't know the answer here, I need help, actually builds trust.
It creates psychological safety.
Right, which is the soil where creativity and collaboration can actually grow. People feel safe to bring their whole selves, including their imperfect ideas.
Thinking back on all this, what really stood out or surprised you the most?
For me, it was probably that insight about numbing, the starkness of it, that you can't selectively numb emotions, that our attempts to avoid pain directly block our access to joy. That really, that hit home. It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, that was powerful for me, too. You have to be willing to feel it all.
Yeah.
I think the most valuable lesson, the biggest gift, maybe, is the permission it offers.
Permission to
just stop. Stop the relentless performing, the chasing of perfection, the constant hustling for worthiness, the realization that you are already enough right now, flaws and all. That's incredibly liberating.
It truly is. The ultimate goal isn't perfection, it's authenticity.
We already possess that inherent worthiness. We don't need to earn it.
So perhaps a final thought for everyone listening to ponder. If we really truly accepted our own inherent worthiness as a birthright, how might that fundamental shift change how we see others? How might it empower us to demand that same inherent worthiness and dignity be recognized for everyone in our communities and our society?
Something to think about. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ecotra Foundation.